Acharya Bhakta Samsana Bhakta Vataram Isham Tam Advaita Acharya Masraye. At the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is a series of verses glorifying personalities other than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Bhujananda, and Advaitacharya. So then later on in the text, Krishna's Kaviraj expands on those verses to explain the nature of Bhujananda Prabhu and Advaitacharya. As we all know, we worship Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is non-different from Krishna. At the same time, there is a difference because he has the moon of Radha and he plays the role of the devotee, not as the Supreme Lord. The followers of Lord Chaitanya also play similar roles as devotees, even though they may also be forms of the Supreme Lord. So within the Panchatattva, we have, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the non-different from Krishna. We have Advaitacharya, who is non-different from Balaram, who is also Supreme Lord. And then we have Advaitacharya, who is also a form of the Supreme Lord, and also a non-different from Krishna, but a little bit different because he is considered to be Mahavishnu, Purushavatar, the Lord. And then we have Gadadhar, Shakti Tattva, or Radharani, and she was called as Jiva Tattva. So in this way we have all within the Panchatattva, we have representations of all forms of the Supreme Lord and His devotees, and in forms of Shakti, Jiva, and then expansions of the Supreme Lord. So that, of course, is summarized in Panchatattva, Krishna, Bhakta, Rupa, Swarupa, etc. So, of course, Chaitanya plays the role of the devotee, Bhakta, Rupa, and then his first expansion is Bhakta, Swarupa, an expansion of Krishna, who is Balaram. And then Bhakta Avatar, as mentioned here. Avatar here refers to Purusha Avatar, who is distinct from other forms of the Lord, because other forms don't necessarily appear in the material world. They also exist in the spiritual world, like Rama and Balaram, etc., and Vishnu forms. But there are forms called the Purusha Avatars who are directly related to the material world, and that's how they're distinguished from the other forms. So we have three Purusha Avatars. Mahavishnu or Karana, Kavadakshaya Vishnu, who sleeps on the Karana ocean. And we have Kavadakshaya Vishnu is within the material world, resting on the Garuda ocean. So there's one Mahavishnu who produces infinite number of universes, and in each universe we have an expansion of Karnadakshaya Vishnu, Kavadakshaya Vishnu. So we have millions of millions of Kavadakshaya Vishnus within each universe. And then from Kavadakshaya Vishnu we have a further expansion, Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, who's resting on the milk ocean. And he expands into all the jivas within each universe. So this way, the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere throughout material creation in more and more specific places. So Mahavishnu pervades over the whole of property and creates the material worlds. But Garbhodakshaya Vishnu is the presider over each universe and its abilities and abilities of universes. And then Kshirodakshaya Vishnu presides over every jiva within each universe. So this way, the Lord pervades at all levels down to the individual jivas, from the whole of property down to each individual jiva within the material world. And all this is the Purusha Avatars. They are functioning for the jivas within the material world. So in the spiritual world, there is no material world. So there's no necessity of having a Mahavishnu to glance over material energy, etc. Okay. So, nevertheless, property will not produce material worlds unless we have the influence of the Supreme Lord. So this is what Mahavishnu does. He is that form of the Lord who interacts with material energy to cause creation of universes. And then he expands inside each universe. So therefore, the Purusha Avatars are directly, more or less directly related to material world and material creation and destruction. Whereas other forms, which are non-different, exist in Vaikuntha, but they have no relationship at all with material energy. So that's the distinction. So though these forms interact with the material world, they're not touched by it. So Mahavishnu is not touched by the material energy. He glances at it from a distance. He doesn't touch it. And then Mahavishnu, Kavadakshaya, enters into it, so it looks like he's touching it, but he exists within it, and he's completely uncontaminated by it. And Kshirodakshaya Vishnu expands into all of the bodies of all of the devas in the material world, and he's also untouched by it. So the Purusha forms are monitoring the material world. That would say they are functional aspects of Supreme One. But they're at the same time non-different from Vishnu in the spiritual world. But the particular function is monitoring spiritual world, the material world, witnessing humans, etc. So that's the distinction. So therefore we'll have a distinction between Advaita Acharya and Nityananda. Nityananda is a spiritual form in the spiritual world. Advaita Acharya represents the Purusha avatar, that spiritual form that interacts with the material world. So that's why we distinguish between two different types of spirit, but also non-different. This particular verse says that Advaita is non-different from Hari. That's why it's called Advaita. Advaita means what? Non-different, non-dual. Usually, it has a very bad connotation. Emerging in Brahman, in personalism. And we say, no, we don't like Advaita because there's no bhakti in Advaita. There's only one entity. There's not Jiva, there's not Krishna, there's no Radha, there's nothing. Everything is one. So generally, we don't like that. But Advaita is called Advaita because he is non-different from the Supreme Lord. Just as Mahavishnu is a form of the Supreme Lord. He's not a Jiva, he's not Shiva, he's the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Harinam Advaita, because he is non-different from Supreme Lord, therefore he's called Advaita. And he's called Acharya because he propagates bhakti and devotional service, so he acts as a devotee as well. So he is called Bhakta Avatara. So Avatara means, of course, the Purusha Avatara. And though he is equivalent to Mahavishnu, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he takes the role of a devotee, even though he is the Lord. And so therefore he's called Bhakta Avatara. We have three forms who are the Supreme Lord: Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself, Nityananda Prabhu, and Advaita Acharya. And Gadadhara Pandit is not the Supreme Lord, he is Shakti, Ladini Shakti of the Lord, that is Radha. And Shiva Pandit is the devotee, the Jiva, the representative of the Jiva. So in this way we have three parts of the personalities in the Panchatattva who are actually Supreme Lord, and two who are not Supreme Lord, one is Shakti and one is Jiva. So in this way we have within the Panchatattva we have a nice representation of the different aspects of the Supreme Lord and the devotee, which are essential for bhakti. So Advaita Acharya, the whole story is told here how Advaita Acharya acted as the immediate cause of the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in this world. And of course he was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because he's Yuga Avatar and probably Sam Sankirtan, that's there. But what was the particular reason? Just as with Krishna, what was the particular reason why Krishna came? Because the Devatas got together with Shiva and Brahma and they all went up to the Milk Ocean to begin praying that Supreme Lord, you have to come to counteract Kamsa. So that was the direct cause, even though the Lord, even without that, he will come. That was the direct cause. So, in Kali Yuga, Advaita Acharya was the direct cause. What did he do? He understood that the people of Kali Yuga were very fallen and very hopeless. And he observed the people of Navadvipa. And in various places it's described that though Navadvipa was very famous as a city of great scholarship and learning and pundits and things like that, It was actually not very good scholarship because it was very materialistic. There were a lot of logicians around, arguing with each other very, very useless points. All sorts of bad philosophies. There was materialists around who would lavishly spend money on useless pursuits, like having marriages and dolls and things like this, and spending a lot of money on that. And of course, there were also smartas who were very, very involved in worshipping devatas. And there were shakas, those who were involved in worshipping Kalidevardhan. And tantrics and all these things. So Navadvipa was full of all sorts of people like this. So, there were people who were completely rejected all forms, were just concocting their own type of worship. So Advaita Acharya saw that the people of that place were hopeless. So then he thought, well, what should I do? So then he remembered a verse, I think it's from Padma Purana, that says that simply by offering to the Shalagram Shiva water and tulsi leaves, you can bring the Supreme Lord under control. And then you can ask him for anything, and he's obliged to give it. And the Lord becomes sold to or purchased by a certain person who offers water and tulsi leaves to Shalagram Shiva. So Advaita Acharya then understood that he would worship the Shalagram, so he took some Ganga Jal, which is the best of all waters, and he took the tulsi leaves, and he began to worship of Shalagram Shiva. And then his intention was to call the Supreme Lord into the material world. He must appear in Kali Yuga because it is hopeless to argue against all of these various factions who are propagating irreligion in the name of religion in Kali Yuga. So that he was the original cause of the Lord coming into this material world. And just as Gajendra, when he recited prayers to Supreme Lord, then the Lord of Vaikuntha heard, and then he came and he rescued Gajendra from the crocodile. So Supreme Lord also heard the prayer of Advaita Acharya, and because of his prayer and the worship sincerity of Advaita Acharya, then the Lord decided to come into this material world, so he came in the form of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that's the story related here in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So he's the immediate cause of the Supreme Lord coming into this world. Just as we can say that Mahavishnu, he produces, he is the source of all the avatars that manifest within this material world. So Advaita Acharya was the cause of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appearing. So he is depicted as elderly. We see him usually with white hair. Because he was quite old, actually, compared to the others. Lord Chaitanya was born. He was somewhat elderly at that time. So when Lord Chaitanya grew up, then of course he was much older. So he was an elderly person, and but very great, though he is Supreme Lord, he was a great devotee of the Lord, a great Vaishnava. And he lived in Shantipur, which is not too far away from Mayapur. So that was his residence. So the Advaita Acharya is equated with Supreme Lord being non-different from him. But he took the role of a devotee, so it's called Bhakta Avatar. So he was manifesting very great devotion to the Supreme Lord, even though he is Supreme Lord. So he was a great Vaishnava. And when Lord Chaitanya appeared, it's described that he came to see the newborn child, understanding that he was Supreme Lord, etc. So, from his very birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Advaita Acharya was connected with him. when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to grow, of course, he showed certain signs of being extraordinary, like having the marks of the thunderbolt and the mountain and the what is it, the chakra, the lotus, the mountain on his foot. That was astonishing. Many things were astonishing about him. But as he grew, then he became like a naughty child, like Krishna, teasing people, etc., teasing the young girls. And then later on, he went to school, and then he became very, very proficient in logic, which was, of course, Advaitacharya others were not too fond of, because this was all very atheistic. But Lord Chaitanya became very proficient at the, you know, grammar and then logic, and things like this. He'd argue with people and defeat them all the time, which is not interesting for Vaishnavas. So many of the people or devotees were rather disappointed that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was doing all this sort of activity. So, but then he went to Gaya to do the Shadarangs for his father, and he got Diksha with the Krishna Mantra, and then he returned and suddenly he was different. He became a great devotee suddenly, and of course he not only got mantra, he also got the holy name, so he came back and started the Sankirtan movement. And of course some people opposed that, and even his students would criticize sometimes, but nevertheless Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did this. And so when he changed like this, Advaitacharya was very, very pleased, and he became his follower, even though Advaitacharya was very young, old at that time, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very young. He was, you know, was maybe 15 years old or something, 14 years old. they were, everyone, all the devotees were very pleased. Advaitacharya was very pleased when he showed these devotional symptoms. So after that point, Advaitacharya was, even though he was elderly, he was very respectable, he became a follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu throughout his, Lord Chaitanya's existence when he was in Navadvipa Mayapur, and later when he went to Puri. So Advaitacharya was always very, very devoted to, in spite of the fact that he was so much elder. This is the, you could say, the hierarchy. Though Lord Chaitanya was much younger, nevertheless, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the center of the Panchatattva. And all the other forms of the Supreme Lord, that's Nityananda and Advaitacharya, they serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In spite of the fact that Advaitacharya was older, and even Nityananda was older also, but they serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because he is Supreme Krishna. And they are other forms of the Lord, not different, but at the same time, they also serve. Advaitacharya played a very significant role in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. Of course, when Lord Chaitanya had Navadvipa pastimes of Sankirtan, then Advaitacharya was a participant in those pastimes. And when Lord Chaitanya went to Puri, then yearly all the devotees of Navadvipa would walk down to Puri and stay for about 4 months. And they would do this for many years and then go back and forth. Stay down 4 months, go back to Bengal. Next year again, go down. So they were so devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that they would walk every year. It takes about maybe 2 weeks. And it was not, you'd say, a safe journey also, because there were all these dacoits and stuff, plus there were Muslim poles and all sorts of things. You had to cross rivers and pay the ferryman and this, and they would trick you and do all sorts of things. And the Muslims were there, so they would try to extort a lot of money from you. So it was not a safe journey also, but they would walk down, trek down there every year, and then trek back to another way, trek down. And the Advaitacharya would also go there, even though he was an elderly person. So he was also very devoted to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in spite of being so elderly. He is also said to be Shiva in many places, or Sada Shiva, which is a little confusing because how is Vishnu Shiva? But then it's explained that Shiva actually is an expansion of Mahavishnu. Right? And we see that also described in the Brahma Samhita. So Mahavishnu was there, and then he expands into a secondary form, like the effulgence of Mahavishnu becomes the Sambhu or Shiva, who interacts with Prakriti, and then that causes material creation. So he's like this expansion, Mahavishnu's expansion is Shiva. So Shiva also is considered non-different from the Supreme Lord. Of course, we also say he is not the Supreme Lord, but simultaneously he's not a Jiva. In that sense, he is also Supreme Lord. And in other works, for instance, more Gupta's Karacha, he wrote a short work which is a precursor of Chaitanya Charitamrita. So in there, he describes how Lord Chaitanya went to various Shiva temples and respecting Shiva nicely. And then sometimes he would fall into ecstasy of Shiva or something, or Shiva's devotees, and he would hear stotras to Shiva, or have the devotees even recite verses of Lord Shiva, and he would be pleased with that. So the reason is that Shiva is like an expansion of the Supreme Lord, but also a little bit different. As we know, because he manifests 55 qualities instead of 60 qualities, but he's not a Jiva. And he's also a devotee of the Supreme Lord. Just like Mahavishnu becomes a devotee of Krishna, so that Shiva also becomes a devotee of Krishna. And he's in a special category because he's not a Jiva. So Advaita Acharya is sometimes identified as Mahavishnu and sometimes as Shiva, because they're close together. Sense of involved in the creation of the material world. Right? So Mahavishnu glances over material energy, and then Shiva interacts with Prakriti, and then we have material creation taking place. So he's also associated with Shiva. We have the offense of the holy name. Don't equate the name of Vishnu with Shiva. I think they're the same. But the same statement can be taken that don't commit the offense of thinking they're different. So we shouldn't think of Shiva as an ordinary Jiva also. In that case, he's like the Supreme Lord, but special category. So he's simultaneously different, non-different from the Supreme Lord. We can make the same distinction between Krishna as Swayam Bhagavan and the Vishnu forms. They are also non-different, but then we also distinguish Krishna as four special qualities, and the others are a little different than that. So they are the same, but simultaneously we say they're different. So in, for instance, Nectar Devotion, that Rupa Goswami points out that according to Siddhanta Tasambheda, that Krishna and Vishnu are non-different. So then why do we say, well, we want to glorify Krishna and call Swayam Bhagavan? They're not different, they're one entity, but the form of Krishna has special attractive features that Vishnu does not manifest. So therefore, we make some distinction also. So there is oneness and there is also difference between Krishna and the Vishnu forms. So similarly between the Vishnu forms and Shiva, there is similarity. There's also some difference. So we shouldn't really think of them as completely different. At the same time, we cannot think of them as completely the same. Both aspects are there. So anyway, Advaita Acharya is a great devotee of the Supreme Lord. He had a great associate, that is Haridas Thakur, is often associated with Advaita Acharya. Apparently at the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas and Advaita Acharya were together, and then they understood when Lord Chaitanya was born, and everybody was chanting the holy name because of the eclipse. Oh, Lord has a beard. And Haridas Thakur became very ecstatic at that point. So even at the birth of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur was associated with Advaita Acharya. So this was, according to normal social standards, not proper. Because Advaita Acharya was not a Hindu. He was born in a Muslim family. So how Brahmana Advaita Acharya, a very respectable Brahmana of Shantipur, could associate with a person who's not even a Hindu. Well, of course, the Brahmins should not even associate with the Sudras or lower castes, but he was associating with Haridas Thakur. And the reason was because they were more interested in bhakti. And so therefore, Advaita Acharya had a very nice relationship with Haridas Thakur. And he is avatar of the Supreme Lord. He's also distributing bhakti, and he plays the role of the devotee. So therefore, he was very, very respectful to Haridas Thakur. And they were very friends. And so, throughout the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, we often see Advaita Acharya and Haridas Thakur together associated. So, though Advaita Acharya was respected as a Brahmana at the same time, because he was a Vaishnava, he took the Vaishnava principles much stronger. And therefore, he disregarded some of the normal rules of the Varnashram system to honor the great devotees of the Lord, like Haridas Thakur. In this way, he was ideal in his conduct. Advaita Acharya, a very, very great devotee of Lord Chaitanya, but simultaneously he's also not a jiva, he's Supreme Lord. That's sort of a special position. So he had a very devotional relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In spite of the fact that he was elderly, he acted as the servant of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And because just as Krishna is supreme, all the other forms of the Lord served him, so Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is supreme and Advaita Acharya serves him. At the same time, they're all playing roles as devotees. So he was a great assistant in the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas in Katwa from Kesha Bharati, after that, then he went to Advaita Acharya's house after that. And from there, after meeting his mother, Sachi, then he went off. Then he went off to Puri. He had a very intimate relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay, any questions?
Nityananda
is Sakya. This is Balaram Sakya. Advaita Acharya has a rather reverential movement, Dasya. Of course, the Dandar Pandit is very Rasa, obviously. And Shiva Spada is definitely Dasya because of the Kari Muni.
Maharaj,
Shri Adarsha Vishnu expands the Paramatma in himself. Yeah. So our relationship is with Krishna, who is Arishadeva. So does the Paramatma take the form of Arishadeva?
Was it opposite way around, actually? Krishna is the source of all the other forms, including the
Paramatma form. For the devotees of Krishna, when we perform devotional service, then for worshiping Krishna as Bhagavan, so that Bhagavan, you say, replaces all the other forms. So that Bhagavan becomes our inspiration, our guide, and our witness, and everything for us, and instead of Paramatma. So the form of Paramatma is superseded by Supreme Lord Himself as Bhagavan through devotion.
And for devotees,
see, Paramatma more or less a neutral witness of everything. Bhagavan is the one who interacts with his devotee and cares for his devotee, is controlled by his devotee, etc. That's a Bhagavan form. So we're interested in establishing a relationship with Krishna so that he interacts with the devotee.
And for devotees to establish relationship with Narasimha Dev, like that, then for devotees to establish their relationship with Narasimha Dev or other forms of the Lord,
yeah,
then again,
so then they will see Narasimha Dev in their heart.
Thank you, Michael, nice lecture. My question is that if demigod like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma can't understand Lord Krishna, then how can we in this insignificant form of life
if they cannot understand, how can we understand?
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So, of course, Shiva and Brahma and Devatas, they're devotees. Generally, they understand Vishnu. So, to understand Krishna and appreciate it was very, very rare. And the example was given of how Brahma went and stole the calves and the cowherd boys, because Krishna is just eating food with cowherd boys. What is this? How can he be God? So, very, very difficult to understand Krishna in relation to, because they usually think of Vishnu. So, it requires a certain type of devotee to appreciate Krishna. Not an odd reverence form, but a form of sweetness. So, therefore, we have to cultivate that, especially through mercy of devotees who have a relationship with Krishna. So Krishna is a little bit difficult to understand because most people prefer greatness and awe and reverence of Vishnu. So difficult for them to understand Krishna. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is even more difficult to understand because he acts more like a human being than even Krishna. He is Krishna, but he's also playing the role of a real human being, a bhakta. So he tends to hide his powers even more than Krishna hides his powers. So therefore, he was even more difficult to understand for many people. But if we're devotees, then of course we can understand. So it depends on the mercy of the Supreme Lord, which depends on the devotion of the devotee. So if you're a devotee of the Lord with that particular mood, then the Lord reveals himself.
Maharaj, this is probably a very left field question. Srila Prabhupada's mission is an instrument of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya is manifesting Panchatattva. Are there examples in Srila Prabhupada's miracle mission, or the Panchatattva, especially Advaita Acharya?
Advaita Acharya in Prabhupada's?
Yeah.
What you're saying, that he is equivalent to Advaita Acharya, or what?
I was just trying to tease out in your studies if you'd come across any examples of how Srila Prabhupada has expressed the root of the Panchatattva in his mission.
Particularly. Well, his usual mood is simply to spread the message of Lord Chaitanya following his order, not particularly identifying with those, the Panchatattvas themselves, but rather following the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and particularly Nityananda, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave Nityananda that order to stay in Bengal and preach there. So Nityananda became famous as the real preacher because he went everywhere. He went from village to village in Bengal doing kirtan and having discourses and giving mercy to everybody. So he was the prime example of the preacher. So we can say that maybe Prabhupada was inspired by that. So that's why we also have a lot of Gaudiya deities, which are not quite common in Gaudiya Math. They have a Gauranga deity and a lot of Krishna. They don't have Gaudiya Thai deities. There are a few Gaudiya Thai deities. I think in Ambika Kalam there's Gaudiya Thai there, a few places. But largely it's just Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna that have in the Gaudiya Math temples, for instance. So, but then Prabhupada has Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Where is Nityananda there? So Nityananda is probably there because of that big preaching effort. He followed the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and dedicated his life to preaching.
As here we see the Lord appeared because the call of Advaita, and also Advaita Acharya was informing the Lord to preach the pastime.
Yeah.
So here we see time to time the Lord is acting like a handpicked person, and you know he is totally surrendered to devotees.
Yeah.
And you know it's trying, it's very difficult to try to be a devotee. And the Lord is also, you know, want to serve the good, how to enhance service.
Well, the aspect of the Lord becoming under the control of his devotee is one of the main qualities of the Supreme, not Lord Chaitanya especially, but all of the forms of the Lord, they are controlled by their devotee ultimately, in spite of the fact that Supreme Lord is independent and supreme, and he's the controller of everyone. He falls under the control of the devotee. That's the sixth quality of bhakti mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion, Krishna Karshini. Krishna is attracted to bhakti. So the devotee has bhakti, Krishna becomes attracted to that person, even though he's the most attractive. Krishna is the most attractive, but he's attracted to the devotee, especially in prema. So that's not just a quality of Krishna, but any form of the Lord. Even Vishnu is under the control of his devotee also, as we see in the story of Ambarish. So there, Vishnu says, I'm under the control of my devotee also. My Sudarshan chakra is under the control of Ambarish. I can't do anything. If he's going to burn you up, then you have to go and get the mercy of Ambarish in order to stop the Sudarshan chakra from burning you, whatever. So in this way, that's one of the outstanding characteristics of the Lord. It may look like a fault, because then the Lord doesn't look like he's independent. And, but it's also, it looks like a fault, but it's the greatest quality. Because the Lord should respond perfectly to the devotee and should be very attached to the devotee. One who has devotion for him, he should respond equally. So therefore, it's said to be the greatest quality of the Lord that he has such affection for the devotee. So it's not a fault at all. It's actually a great quality. So it doesn't mean that he is henpecked or whatever. It simply means that he is attracted to devotion. If we show devotion to the Lord, he responds even more. And therefore, by that, he comes under control of the devotee. So we never take it as a fault, but rather as one of its most outstanding qualities.
Thank you, Maharaj. Maharaj, there is a famous song which glorifies Radha Veda Charya, Tala Krita Baleva Chaitanya Nitya, and by his mercy one can achieve Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. So, today being that special day, how can we act to attract that mercy of Lord Advaita Charya so we can achieve the mercy of Lord Chaitanya and the kingdom?
Well, it will be simply utter prayers to him, offer our respects to him. Same thing, glorification of Nityananda by chanting those prayers or chanting his name, that's how we get his mercy.
Hare Krishna. I heard Aditya Jaya has some sons that were became Mayavadi. Is that
became?
A personalist.
Well, yeah, I mentioned Chaitanya Chandra, some branches were unbona fide, others were bona fide.
Some of them went off the line, I think. I don't know if they're impersonalists or whatever, but they were definitely not on the right path of devotion, pure devotion. And so therefore we don't accept those followers. Bhartacharya does have a parampara line coming down, Diksha line. There is still present in different Babaji's and others, something like that. So we say maybe that's the bona fide line. Then other lines, I think, they went off and they went to Vaishnavas or something like that. Exactly. I don't know. But anyone know?
That means he has a bank song, like a family line?
Yeah.
It's really interesting.
Well, I don't know if that's all family line, but even his, was it his, who was his doctor? Became a guru also. Ramachandra's doctor. She became a guru. But yeah, there is people who trace back a lineage, whether it's strictly from his line or whether it was one Brahmin disciple who starts a line like that, but they trace it back to a great all like that. And it's the same with Nityananda. It's not actually all Nityananda's line. It's certain Brahmins who took initiation from Janava or Virabhadra, and they started the line. So they're not all similar lines from, you know, Virabhadra or anything like that. So many of those Brahmins have started lines from them, they trace their line back that way.
In Mahaprabhu's Jagannathpuri pastime, you see that Mahaprabhu wanted to go to Vrindavan. At the same time, again and again, devotees treat him, you know, now this festival is happening, so you know, stay for some more time. So when you see the Lord has a great desire to go to Vrindavan, and before that, Sanatana Goswami told before he was going to Vrindavan, probably this is not the best time to go because he has so many followers. Mahaprabhu didn't go. That was understandable, the reason. Here, Mahaprabhu really wants to go to Vrindavan, but devotees are not really serving his desire, and it's not one time, it's for a prolonged period. And at the end, then Mahaprabhu said, and this is my decision. Now I have to go, then devotees are going to be ready again, whatever you want, like that. So why devotees are acting in never against the desire?
Well, we can say that's their attachment to the Lord. Just like the gopis in Vrindavan don't want Krishna to leave, but he leaves, you know, like this. Maybe for a short time he'll stay with them, but actually he'll leave eventually because that's his plan, whatever. So the devotees, we can say it's their nature to be attached, so therefore they express that by saying, you stay here. But yes, desire to leave, and then they accept it when he does leave. Okay, Hare Krishna.